I'm a mother, so I don't have the luxury of always putting all of my focus on my image. And like, I've been asked, like, what are you trying to be? Are you Sarah the artist or are you Sarah the mom? What are you looking like? You know, and I'm like, well, I'm really trying to be Sarah the artist, but I'm also Sarah the mom and I'm exhausted.
I'm Laura Quiñones. Welcome back to Amplify Her, a podcast from the United Nations with support from SoundCloud. Today we meet Jamaican singer Sara Couch. Sara is part of Deja Villa, a duo she formed with Brooklyn-based producer and songwriter David Marston, who provides the dance rhythms to her sensual vocals. Although her parents were both musicians, they encouraged her to study in the hospitality industry, in the knowledge that making a living in the music industry, particularly in Jamaica, can be hard. Sara told us that although music is now her main focus, cooking is still one of her passions.
I had such a craving for tacos today.
A lot of the time I'm in my kitchen. I find that's where a lot of my friends come together if we're not in the studio. We're around the kitchen and I'm cooking something. Something is sizzling in the pot.
Red pepper and onion.
I wasn't really encouraged to do music because I knew how hard it was. Both of them being musicians, they were kind of like, you should go to school and get your degree and at least you have something. So I studied hospitality. I went to school in Spain for 5 years and then I studied in Chicago as well. Well, I know it was when my mom, when she got cancer, that I said, you know, life is short. I'm going to go back into my music. That's one of the things that I really heard her say a lot. I get emotional when I talk about her, even still, you know. She had so much more that she wanted to do, you know, and so I didn't want that to happen to me, that like I was left regretting not going for my dreams. So that's when it really struck me. I was like, I'm gonna do my music. I like it better in the morning, wake up early, rain is pouring, hold my breath or take it all in, find it hard to make that one in you. You got me in the way you do, you got me ready like you knew, you got me in the right way too. My studio is like, well, it's a building that my dad built a long time ago that he used as his dark room when he used to take photos and develop them. It's pretty big for a recording space. We could fit like a whole band in here. There's a drum set and, you know, so we really want to do like live recording stuff. It's very wooden inside and it's kind of rustic. We call it treetop. It's homey, it's comfortable. Everybody always says it has a good vibe. I like it better. I grew up around food and music primarily. My mother, she was a musician, a singer, and also a caterer. She always did both. And my father as well was involved in the company. And my father had, you know, a really cool studio set up there. And he would do a lot of jingles for the radio and stuff like that. And when he was younger, he was a part of a band called Native that did kind of like a reggae vibes. They toured for a while and my mom joined the band for a while, and that was early, that was before me. And then once I came along, that's when they kind of came out of the whole recording studio thing. Both my parents being musicians, there was a lot of people passing in and out. And I think there was always this kind of relationship between the people coming to the studio and my mom preparing food in the kitchen. Sometimes you think I'm silly, 'cause I pull up on him with the illest. Maybe I'm the sweetest, maybe I'm a princess. I grew up in an exciting household. There was always a lot of colorful things happening, a lot of creative energies passing through, and it was cool.
Tits in a conversation. It's just good alliteration. So bye bye, baby. Let's not be stressed out. Let's not be crazy.
When I was really young, I listened to the Beatles a lot and Michael Jackson. And my mom, the band was signed to Virgin for a while. And so I actually was lucky enough to get like pre-release Spice Girls. So I loved Spice Girls for a while, you know, when I was young. Every day I would go to school dressed up like a different Spice Girl. I've been writing songs since I was like 8 years old. And I've been like on the keyboard with the pre-programmed beat things, and I would write my little songs and always love to rhyme, you know. It's like word sound. It's like how words sound together and how they flow together. I love that.
In the morning, wake up early, rain is pouring. Hold my breath, I take it all
in. I don't know, I always end up writing a lot of love songs. I feel that I get most emotional and usually have most strong emotions towards those situations. I get inspired by whatever rhythm is sent to me, you know. Sometimes I'll write with a guitar, or sometimes I'll just start with a melody and a guitarist will put something behind it. But for the most part, I'll hear a beat, you know, and whatever that music brings up in me is kind of the direction I go in.
So I pay you no attention. I know what you're still learning. So don't forget to mention the fire that is burning.
At different points in my life was when I needed different things, and different things would inspire me at that time. And, you know, it's all stored somewhere. So it's like I just bring it back and it all comes together. I'm not visual at all. I'm not good at like designing or decorating or having eye for much, you know, but when it comes to sound and feeling, I feel it a lot. So I think that's how I listen to music, you know, I feel it. I'm a mother, so I don't have the luxury of always putting all of my focus on my image and like looking good and going out and networking and being a hot girl to be this artist image that you want to put out so that people are like, all right, there's Sarah the artist. I've been asked, like, what are you trying to be? Are you Sarah the artist or are you Sarah the mom? What are you looking like? You know, and I'm like, well, I'm really trying to be Sarah the artist, but I'm also Sarah the mom and I'm exhausted. So I don't like have the energy right now to do the whole thing. What I found was really depressing for me was that when my son was just born and I was just a stay-at-home mom for a while, I felt very depressed. I love him, you know, but I'd felt not so much sense of purpose. And I realized that for me, it's not enough to just be a mom. I need to also do my work and I need to have support to be able to do my work and be a mom. And I need that from the man in my life, you know, and I need that from my friends. And I need that from my family, and I equally try to reciprocate that support where it's needed too, you know. I think that what we've lost along the years is that sense of community, and that we need to help each other out a lot. To be able to be okay with that, to like understand that, like, yeah, you know, I actually need help, and I know the type of help I need, and I'm going to ask for it, you know, so that I can be my best self. And if I'm my best self, then I'm happy for my son and my partner and whoever else is in my life, and then we're good. I think that's what we need to learn as women, especially in this industry, is that we need to understand what support we need and not be afraid to ask for it, because our balance of career, mental health, and being able to be our best selves as a caretaker as that nurturing energy is important. A lot of people are generally suffering and they're frustrated, you know, feel very limited on their options. It's hard to make it out, especially with the whole entertainment, nightlife, everything. Things had to start closing really early. And so a lot of the smaller stuff really suffered, and the crime rate is through the roof. I think the kind of music that David and I make especially is so different. I don't know if there's anything really quite like it.
Swimming like a satellite, kick it on me city, walk me through the night, deepen up my memory.
As a generation, we're traveling and we're just absorbing different inspiration from different places and putting that together in our own expression. And it can't really be, you can't confine yourself to one genre sometimes. From my observation, it comes down to like the venue. When you put on a dancehall dance, or, you know, you put on a reggae show, you know that it's probably going to do well. But in terms of venues for up-and-coming artists, younger artists, smaller artists, you don't have those small places, you know, that are set up for music. You know, I find that when I go elsewhere, there's like places that are just set up for sound. There's a stage and it's covered and you have a good audio engineer. So you know that when the artist goes there, they're going to sound good. They're going to sound good to the audience. And when it comes to smaller artists trying to do a show, they have to end up putting it on themselves. They have to rent all the equipment, hire the band, do the stage, do the lights. And it's difficult. And it's difficult when you're just trying to start up and you have no money.
Swimming like a satellite, kick it for me, titty, walk me through the night, and deepen on my memory.
So one thing that the pandemic taught me, like I kind of freaked out for a while. I was like, well, you know, thank God for my garden, because worst case scenario, at least I know I'm not going to starve. I have some callaloo growing, I have pumpkin, I have lettuce, I have eggplant, I have beans, I have peppers, cucumber, basil. And I know what to do with it, because I have to give thanks for my mother for teaching me how to cook, because it's a blessing to be able to make food and share and, you know, nourish people and give to your friends and your family. And I'm so grateful for that. There's so many things that I want to do that I don't even know how to find the time. Like, I love to sing and I love to write songs. I think that's number one right now. But I also love food and creating food and recipes, and very into health and stuff like that. My house here is very important, of course. It's where I've grown up all my life. It's the only house in Jamaica I've ever lived in or known. This place is one of my main inspirations. I love the hills. I love the beach. You know, I have a lot of birds and crickets, and you'll have the dogs barking at like 2 a.m. The sound of nature. I'm up in the hills and I'm surrounded by bush, you know.
I like it better in the morning. Wake up early, rain is pouring. Hold my breath or take it all in. Find it hard to make that one in.
That was Sarah Couch. Head to the Amplify Her page on SoundCloud to find a playlist of some of Sarah's best Deja Vila tracks. On the next episode, we're going to Ghana to meet Adoma.
Like baby, sometimes do we day, but it never reads in, no matter what, before they come easy.
Adoma has blazed a trail for Afro jazz and alternative music in her home country. Find out how her sound has evolved and how she has dealt with the pressures of fame. Amplify Her is dedicated to women and girls everywhere, particularly to those whose dreams and aspirations are unfulfilled due to discrimination and oppression. The empowerment of women and girls is an essential part of the UN's mission. You can find out how the UN is fighting for gender equality worldwide on our website, news.un.org. Amplify Her is hosted by me, Laura Quiñones, and produced by Connor Lennon. Sound design is by Garrett Crow. This episode was made possible by Kathleen O'Malley and Matt Bandini at Ultra Records, Alexa Brooks at Sony Music, and Sarah Couch. Thanks to Mita Hosali, Victor Evans Harvey, Matthew Wells, Mark Petimesas, Fang Ching, Gretchen Corcuera, Takako Nagumo, and Erica Mendez from UN News. And thanks to Shauna Alexander, Emma Lenz, Lauren Holden, and Heather Mundinger from SoundCloud. Amplify Her is a UN News production with support from SoundCloud.